All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our NBA podcast for Friday, December 16th. I am Doug Norrie, that is
James Davis.
And we're going to be breaking down a decent-sized NBA slate for Friday for FanDuel and DraftKings. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, or DFSR.com for short, here to help you get started or keep winning for NBA DFS on FanDuel and DraftKings. Head over to the site, grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, which will help you calculate optimal lineups for both of those sites. It's free for 3 days, and then $29.95 a month after that. That includes our NFL projections and optimal lineups as well. Think you will be pleasantly surprised with what you get there, because we think we're about as good as it gets in the industry at projecting NBA games for DFS. So head over to the site, jump into the chat room, ask if is this worth it. People will say yes, and you away you go. You will have access to the system, optimal lineups for those two sites. Okay, let's talk about the full Friday slate of basketball. Though it's a full Friday slate, but man, there are some big time question marks in terms of how much value we're getting on this one. But we can kind of look at a position by position breakdown, sort of see what we know now. You know, we'll talk about things in terms of things we know now. There are a couple pieces of injury news that are going to be relevant going forward, which we'll point out as it goes. So, on a point guard, I wrote up John Wall last night. He plays Detroit. Detroit's not a fantastic matchup, though Wall's been great lately, and our system doesn't really buy too much into, like, what have you done for me lately. It's more looks at historical stuff and general usage patterns and defensive matchups. All that being said,
how many minutes you're going to play?
Yeah, right. And actually, that's what really one of the keys for Wall is, among all the point guards playing tonight, and really almost among any player playing tonight, his minutes expectation, or his minutes floor, is about as good as it gets in the NBA. He plays a ton of minutes. And how much safety do you see in something like that for a guy like Wall?
I mean, I see a ton of it. And I think, you know, another key stat I've keyed on Wall is using the SportView tracking data. He has the third highest time of possession per game among all players in the NBA this season. And the two guys above him are Westbrook and Harden. And those guys are like 2,000 more than him, right? So not to say that he's going to score the same way they do on a night-to-night basis. That's not totally his role. But the fact that he's been topping, you know, that 4.7 to 5x points per dollar on this price with some reliability, obviously touching 71 in the ridiculous Orlando game, leads me to believe that he's plenty safe on these prices. And I love the floor here.
Yeah, he's definitely seen an uptick in shooting. His usage actually helps a little bit too if Markieff is out again. And actually, I'm not even totally positive if Morris comes back that he moves back into the starting lineup. Kelly Oubre played pretty well the other night, and it'll be interesting to see what the Wizards want to do with a guy like Morris. I've never totally thought they wanted him even in the lineup to begin with, really, but just didn't feel like they had many other great options. But if they feel like they have something with Oubre, I could see him sticking, and I actually think that does help Wall's usage as well to not have Markieff in there on the first team. He's been great lately. He's been taking a ton of shots. He's getting up a little up there in price on a night where there are some other expensive plays, but I think his floor is just about as high as anybody else's. Now, at the rest of point guard, I wasn't in love with really what I was seeing here. I wrote up Andrew Harrison. He stunk last game against Cleveland. He got into foul trouble, and I think that was the key piece of why he only saw 19 minutes. He had 3.2 fantasy points, is total garbage. Now, the Grizzlies, an interesting move. They think Conley is pretty close to coming back, and they actually waived Tony Douglas. So, if Conley didn't play tonight, I don't think they even have another point guard. So this is where it kind of falls with me with Harrison. Where do you see it? Can you evaluate this situation?
I mean, it's always tough to suggest rostering a guy who might not start. Like, that never feels good. But I think your point of, yeah, like, where else could the minutes possibly go is a salient one. I think, you know, generally speaking, people overrate how easy it is to be the person who dribbles the ball up the court for a basketball team in the NBA. It's really hard, and only a few people can do it. And given that he's one of the handful of guys that can do it, I could see him providing some safety. Sacramento, not the ideal matchup for opposing point guards that they had been, simply because they've been playing slower this season. But yeah, and losing, you know, Douglas played 29 minutes in his last game, right? So him being gone is very, very material. And all this to say, I do think Harrison could be a good play almost regardless. Also, just because I think if they do bring Conley back, they're pretty unlikely just to throw him into the fire with 38 minutes or whatever.
That's what I mean. Maybe I'm just reading too much into it, or I'm just speculating a little too much, though. I think you kind of have to do that at point guard tonight, because the position is just not great in general. There are a lot of teams who just suboptimal matchup. So I'm going to need to wait to hear a little bit more about where the Grizzlies are with Conley. If he plays, like you said, I can't imagine he plays a lot. The other guy I wrote up was Sergio Rodriguez. Rodriguez was interesting. Last game, the Sixers started Okafor and Embiid, and then Rodriguez still found the shots here. And I think I was a little bit worried about, like, sort of where the usage goes for some of these guys, really for the whole team, if they're going to start Okafor and Embiid together, which I really can't imagine they stick with this. They just aren't really that complimentary. Anyway, but that being said, Sergio against the Lakers, if he plays 29 minutes in that offense, do you think he's like, is he just a good enough value in a game that they project for a decent amount of points and the game's supposed to stay close?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the thing about the Lakers is, especially with D'Angelo Russell coming back, Russell's not a very strong defender, and the fact that he's a little bit banged up leads me to believe that he's not going to necessarily be at his best defensively, whatever his best defensively looks like. Rodriguez has definitely been a little bit up and down, but, you know, three of his last five starts, he's top 6x points per dollar. He was still reasonable against Toronto at 4.6x. So I think that the floor is there for me. And yeah, like, he did disappear against Memphis, but in a game that rates to be fairly close by the Sixers standards, I think he's a reasonable option.
Yeah, and I wish I had any like real clear sense of what the Magic, like what their plan was at all with any of their point guards, like Payton or Augustine. Like, Augustine played 30 minutes last game, stunk, but he still played 30 minutes. Payton comes in off the bench. He'll see somewhere in like that 25-minute to 30-minute range a night. Sometimes he'll eclipse it, like against Atlanta. He played 35 and scored 55 points. He simply just can't trust what they're doing there, and that's the problem. And let's move on to shooting guards. The shooting guard situation tonight, you know, Giannis, he qualifies a point guard over on DraftKings, so I know that the position eligibility gets a little wonky sometimes with some of these guys. And Giannis is coming off an absolute monster last night. He put up a 30-14. He really, especially in the first half, he just simply couldn't miss him and Parker. It kind of led to the game started to get out of hand. The Bulls came back a little bit, but he crushed. The system liked him last night. It likes him tonight as well. Do you think he is a correct play in cash games? And do you think B, he'll be over-owned because of what he did last night? Again, this is the same exact matchup. This is a home and home against the Bulls. So like right. All the same inputs that we had last night, we have tonight. And again, like, Giannis was a guy that just missed our optimal lineups last night. It was really just kind of decimal points away. Do you think he's right back in play last night? And do you think people will and they'll also simultaneously overrate what he did last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, like, obviously the 14 rebounds, not totally sustainable, but he does top double-digit rebounds from time to time. He actually wasn't on the high end of his assists and the steals and points. Not that they were totally in line with what you're used to from him, but they weren't out of bounds either. I don't know. I think that put him up against Harden, which is, I think, the decision a lot of people are going to have to make tonight, and I think you get a relatively similar points per dollar equation. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, people are going to view Harden as safer, and he probably is, but I think that, you know, just in terms of, like, I think if you played this out 100 times, Giannis and Harden would have roughly a similar points per dollar when it was all Cam and not in the wash.
Yeah, I think people will end up seeing, like I said, he was about 40% cash game start last night in FanDuel. I think he'll be it won't be as high this tonight only because there are so many other options, but I think he'll be higher than he would have been had he not played last night, if that makes sense. So I think that, like, people will look back at the recent performance and kind of talk themselves into it. Harden, like you mentioned, it also is really, he's the top overall points guy tonight, I think, really just in about any system. He plays the New Orleans, which is a fantastic matchup just for about for anybody. He's very expensive, though, and there is some blowout risk. Right now, Houston, I believe, is somewhere like minus 11 going into this game against New Orleans. They're at home, and they've shown the ability to blow people out, especially if the three-pointer is dropping for them. Where do you evaluate a guy like Harden with the possible blowout risk?
I think Harden is going to be, you know, pretty highly owned just because the upside is so severe and the matchup is so excellent. You know, like, New Orleans doesn't really feature a defender that can cover him. And while the blowout risk is there for sure, if they blow him out, it's going to be because of what Harden does. So maybe as it all shakes out, it's a really big slate tonight. Maybe as it all shakes out, people decide that it's not where they want to be from a safety perspective, but the upside is obviously undeniable. Arguably the highest upside overall of any player on the slate tonight.
Yeah, we have him for the most raw points, which, I mean, most systems are going to have him there, so that's not like backpatting territory here. Most systems are going to, at this point, have him as being the top overall guy.
Between him and Davis, I would say.
Yeah, the price is getting close. And the only difference between him and Davis, like, our system has him and Davis actually is pretty close, all things considered. The difference with them is you actually do have other shooting guard value where you don't get as much power forward value, and that could be the thing that swings at least for our numbers, and it swings it in the way of Davis, only because you're like, well, you just have other guys like Giannis at shooting guard, at least on FanDuel as one. You know, DeRozan's in a decent situation tonight, I think, as well. And so I think that would be the only thing that could keep you maybe away from Harden, but man, it wouldn't feel good. And I'm with you that I think that he is probably the highest owned player on the slate. On the cheaper side, Tim Hardaway Jr. played some minutes last game. I don't know if it looks like he's going to stick as the starting shooting guard. They're willing to play Korver off the bench a decent amount. One guy I looked at was Nick Young. Nick Young actually his minutes kind of rounded back into shape because he had been on a minutes cap coming out of the injury. If he's going to play 30 minutes here, do you like him against the Sixers?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he gets a reputation as being a guy who is really erratic. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we talk about this all the time, but you got to be erratic around your price. And so you'll take a guy who, you know, sometimes scores 17, but sometimes scores 35 if his price is 4,000. And I think that's kind of where Nick Young is for me. You know, we always feel a little bit uneasy depending on scoring dependent guys like Young, but the price is so low that does wind up playing high 20s minutes. I think, you know, especially against the Sixers here, maybe a slightly more predictable game script against not so good team. I think Nick Young is kind of just the kind of guy you want if you want to be able to spend up big tonight.
Yeah, and I think that another theme that's going to be here is if Vucevic is out again for the Magic, I think Fournier is a little bit more intriguing in terms of minutes coming.
Well, to explain why that matters.
Because he does see a usage bump. He sees a usage bump when he's not sharing the court with Vuce. And the other thing is he's versatile enough that they can play him bigger minutes because he can shift between the two and the three. And so he just stands to be on the court a little bit more if the rotation is one guy short, even though that guy is a center, if that makes sense. So like they're able to shift him more where they can move Ibaka to a five and play small ball. They can move Gordon to the three and play Fournier at the two, or move Fournier into the three, if that makes sense. So he has the versatility to stay on the court a little bit longer than some of the other guys on the Magic do. And that's where I think his safety comes in. On the small forward, last night we really liked Jimmy Butler. He stunk. And I'm wondering, it's sort of like the anti-Giannis, where the system still likes Butler on the minutes, still likes, you know, what he stands to be able to do. The Bulls were in a weird situation last night where a lot of their other side, like, you know, not their points necessarily, although they didn't score a ton, but the rebounding really fell off for them, mostly because the Bucks just made every shot. And so I don't know, do you see Butler coming off a bad game? He was pretty highly owned. Do you think we can go back to the well on him again, as like last night was sort of like an outlier?
I do, actually. I think one thing that's interesting to note for tonight's game is that, you know, Rondo played only 29 minutes last night coming off his ankle injury. Second half of a back-to-back, I could see him being limited again or even potentially being a late scratch. And that's like not likely necessarily. We'll definitely want to keep monitoring the news to see how it all shakes out. But if it does, like, it's just enough of a needle mover, enough of a tiebreaker for me that I think it gives Butler slightly more upside than it would otherwise, because both he and Wade, their usage just goes through the roof when Rondo sits.
I mentioned Kelly Oubre as being, if we're going to wait to hear on what the Wizards do with their starting lineup tonight with Markieff back. If Oubre were to be back in the lineup again tonight, I see him as a great value play for the Wizards. But again, we're going to need to kind of wait on news. And again, it's not just because Morris could play and they just want to stick with the same starting lineup. So along those same lines, Aaron Gordon, man, again, I just don't know what the Magic are doing. Like, this guy doesn't play. He plays 28 minutes. Then Vucevic is out and he plays 22. Then he plays 18. Then he plays 40 against the Clippers. Like, some of these teams are just almost, you can hear like the maddening tone that I take with the teams like this, because I just can't, like, what do you do? Like, what do we set Gordon's minutes at, right? Like, right now I have it at 30. Could be 10 too low. It could be 10 too high. Like, I actually don't think 30 is correct, right?
Right. But I also get frustrated and pull him in the second quarter, or he just gets to play every minute of the game. That's kind of what you're
like, right? Exactly. He's not going to play 30. He's going to play 20, or he's going to play 40. And like, I just don't know which one is. I'm hedging at 30. What do you think about Gordon?
I mean, I guess your thoughts mirror mine in a lot of ways. I mean, the thing about Gordon is that he is very solid on a fantasy point per minute basis, and that if he's out there, he should be doing enough to pay these prices. You do have not so much exposure on the price itself, like at just 4,700 on FanDuel. That's really not, you know, you're not devastated if he winds up not being on the high end. All that taken together, though, it kind of feels more like a tournament play than a cash game play to me.
Covington's also interesting if he's going to get over 30 minutes. He's been really good the last couple of games. He had over 40 fantasy points last game against Toronto. He could put up a 26-12 line. That's way out of bounds for him.
Great matchup.
Yeah, but the matchup's great tonight. And if you think that they're maybe rounding a rotation with that starting lineup with the Embiid, Okafor, Covington, and Sergio kind of line up together, and you think the minutes have a nice floor, then I think he's in a fine situation. By the way, if it sounds like we're moving fast, I just want to let you know scheduling conflict has me having to be out of here fairly earlier than usual today.
So that's function against
me. Yeah, I have to go to something. So that's why I'm moving a little. We usually don't move this fast through the things, but I wanted to. Some podcast to me was better than no podcast. So that's why if it sounds like I'm going fast, this is the reason. On the power forward, like I mentioned, Anthony Davis, he was great last night on his price, paid 5X on 12,000, which is exactly what you want out of your big money guys. He gets the matchup against Houston tonight. Are you worried about him on a back to back at all?
Not really. I mean, Davis is a young guy, and for better or worse, the Pelicans don't seem to care about that with him too much. It's a fast-paced matchup with Houston. You know, they're still playing one of the faster matchup or paces in the league, and I don't think they're very well equipped to defend him. Like, Ryan Anderson covering him is a complete joke. I don't think Capella's really designed to chase him around the perimeter if that's the direction he decides to go either. So, yeah, no, I really like Davis tonight.
Yeah, Parker, I'm with you. I think I'll probably end up playing Davis again, and like I said, only because possibly the shooting guard value was able to round out a little bit more for Harden, and I don't think you're going to be able to get them both into lineups. Definitely not on DraftKings, where the pricing gets very, very difficult. But after him, Jabari Parker was awesome last night. At one point, I think he was 8 from 8 for the field. He's not a favorite to be able to shoot. He shot 11 for 19 from the field, 3 for 5 from 3. He's just not going to shoot that efficiently again. But he doesn't need to, really. Like, he doesn't need to be as good tonight as he was last night to still be a value. Can we go back to Parker again tonight? And does he fall into that Giannis camp where people maybe overown him a little bit simply because they're going to look back and be like, man, he was awesome?
Yeah, I mean, maybe overown just because it's a big slate and better value creeps to the top of the surface. But I talked about this on the podcast yesterday. He had been a very reliable source of 30 fantasy points per game, minus that one Washington game, basically since the end of November around Thanksgiving. And if that's going to be who he is, he's just too cheap. Yep. I think you could easily see this price climb by 10% before that season's over. And it's just a value play right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I probably end up in lineups here, although I do like Ibaka again if that Magic situation shakes out where they're down a big guy. His minutes, I think, have a nice floor to them. He has a great matchup against Brooklyn, who really doesn't play much defense. I actually think if Ibaka was going to see minutes in the high 30s, he has about as much upside as anybody at the position tonight, but I'm going to need to wait on some of that Vooch news coming out. After them, power forward, I mean, Trevor Booker, it's hard to trust the minutes. Blake against Miami, no thanks, it's too slow. Not much else to get excited about here. I think the guys we just mentioned, unless some punt, you know, kind of crops up, I think these are the guys we end up seeing in lineups. Let's finish it off this quick NBA podcast today with the center position. Embiid, if he has to share the court with Okafor, you know, we've seen he was incredibly high usage to start the season. It's dipped a little bit since the start. That makes sense. It was going to be really hard for him just to keep up the pace that he was playing.
38% usage.
That really wasn't sustainable at all for him. Some of his, you know, core numbers are buoyed a lot by that usage to start the year. How much of a dip down do you think he takes with Okafor in the lineup with him? The minutes have creeped up, but last game, yeah, he was just kind of meh, 25 points. He did leave the game early with a nosebleed and came back. But again, he played all of his minutes. So I'm not sure that really, in the end, mattered too much because he has that cap. Where do you view a guy like Embiid?
I definitely think that we are now on the high end of what we should be paying for Embiid. I was actually pretty encouraged by the assists last night against Toronto, because the 5 assists means that he can sense a double team and kind of pass out of it. That's going to be a good thing for his fantasy value going forward. But yeah, like there were like 6 minutes into the game, he hadn't made a field goal yet. And that's really, really tough. It's just going to be tough to pay a $7,000 salary on 27 minutes if that's going to be your kind of rate out there. So I don't know. I mean, are you feeling good about his cash game prospect site? I get that it's a great matchup.
I wrote him up, and I know the system likes him, and I get why. I think I'm probably going to err on the side of caution and wait for a little bit more sample size of how much he and Okafor share the court together and what their rotations look like and sort of what happens in those rotations. Because if he's only going to play 27 minutes, and let's say they share the court for 8 of them, right? Like, and that's even probably low. Let's say they share it for like 12 minutes or something like that. you know, and Okafor cuts into his usage by what, like 25%? I mean, like, these are the numbers. I'm just sort of making these numbers up because we just don't know enough.
The sample size is too small.
Exactly. And so I think in a situation like that where it's a clear shift in what the team has done, I probably will end up lowering him a little bit and just kind of playing a wait and see. Because, again, if we thought there was any possibility of, like, some games of him playing 35 minutes, right? Like, the game goes to overtime or something like that. Like, even if any of those things even existed at all, I'd be more willing to play him. But it just doesn't. Like, he's just hard-capped at that 27, and when you're hard-capped there, you really have to have everything go right. And if you add in this other little piece of a new player who's decent, I don't know. All this being said, I think I'm going to take a wait and see.
I think that makes sense. And just, I think it's a reasonable proxy. If people are having trouble digesting that, you could look at a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, who has had a similar usage to him earlier this season. Now try and picture a game where the Kings go out there and 6.5 minutes pass and Cousins hasn't attempted a shot from the field. Like, it just wouldn't happen. And so if that's the case, Embiid is not a 37% usage player, probably, or it'd just be he ran so bad in the context of those few minutes that you know, maybe it was just unlucky, but I would say Occam's razor suggests that the usage is coming down here.
By the way, if that was a situation with Cousins, it was 6 minutes in and he hadn't taken a shot yet and you were alive better, you would absolutely unload the clip on him getting two techs and out of the game. Sure. They were taking odds in that situation because something has gone wrong and he's about to get exited. After him at center, I think you can look at Biombo. If Vucevic sits out again, I think you can go back to Robin Lopez. We liked him last night. He kind of got buzzed off because they couldn't play him down the stretch and trying to play catch up against the Bucks. Yep. I think you see the minutes return for him in a close game tonight. Again, like, look no further than Vegas for some of these games. If, you know, I know that the Bucks blew out the Bulls last night. The Vegas line is sort of right in line with where it was last night. Actually, Chicago's a favorite. So, you know, don't think that just because they blew them out last night that it doesn't stand to be a close game tonight. I think you can go right back to Lopez. I think you get him as a little contrarian value because people feel like they're going to see the same game script tonight and it's not going to be. All right, that's a quick NBA podcast for us. Sorry to rush through that one. I am out of here for the day. We'll be back next week talking more NBA. Buddy, good luck with Friday night's games.
Have a great job at your function, dude.
Later.